Good morning. I trust everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. Very good. I know I didn't. I've got those who joined me for Thanksgiving here this morning, so that's a blessing as well. So, I don't know if most of you remember the last time I spoke here. Got up. It's been a while. But I spoke that time on Philippians chapter 1. In fact, if I remember correctly, I memorized the chapter and I quoted it. And so I'm going to continue this morning in chapter 2 of Philippians. However, I'm not going to quote it this morning. I found that the last time when I did that, I spent a lot of time memorizing all those verses and not doing as much studying as I would have liked in the verses. And though I thoroughly enjoyed the memorizing that chapter, I thought this time I would just do a little bit more in-depth study into it and share those thoughts with you this morning. So before we get started here, I'd like to pray and ask the Lord for his guidance. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that we can spend together and to open your word and look into your word, Father. And it is just so precious to know that we have the word of God and that we can study that word and to share our thoughts with others, Father, about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who indeed is the Word who dwelt among us. And we give you thanks for that. We just pray your blessing upon this word this evening and pray that you would give me clarity of thought as I relate those things that you have put on my heart this morning. So we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the last time I spoke, of course, on Philippians 1, and I'd like to go over a few of those passages that I think relate directly to chapter 2 in Philippians. And verse 12, I'm going to read through 12 through 26. I'm going to read through it this time. I don't have it memorized again. But I want you to know, brethren, the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, and I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supplication of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. So here we see Paul relating some encouraging words to the Philippians. Paul at this point is in prison in Rome, and he's in chains, and yet he's encouraging them, not being able to be there with them, but to telling them that these chains that I have are not chains from Rome. They're chains from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ has put him there for a reason, and that became evident because the whole palace guard and all the rest of the people knew that his chains were in Christ. And what an encouragement that is, knowing that through those trials that he is still doing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and serving Christ. And it's an encouragement to the Philippians, but also to Paul. And so I want to go down now to chapter 2. And I will come back to these verses because chapter 2 in the New King James, which I'm reading from, which is interesting because I memorized it in the ESV. So if I mess some things up, that's why. Anyway, chapter 2 of Philippians starts with a therefore. And of course, as Jeff Takis so often tells us, if there's a therefore, you have to look and see what the therefore is there for. So chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And I'm going to stop there. And the therefore we see, and I believe relates back to verse 12 in chapter 1. And I'll get to that. But the if there is any is not a question mark, if there is something. It's more of an argument. If there is any consolation, there is, and it could be better read as, since there is consolation in Christ, since there is comfort of love, since there is fellowship of the Spirit and affection and mercy. That's kind of a better interpretation of it, because Paul is not questioning whether there is any. He's making a statement of argument here. There is these things. And if we go back to verse 12, I think verse 12 really, as I said, is an encouragement to the Philippians and an encouragement in Christ. So the consolation in the New King James, in the ESV, it's if there is any encouragement. And so I like that word encouragement too, because I think this is what Paul is getting at here in Philippians 1:12. He's encouraging them that he is in chains, but it is actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, which is Paul's main thing in all his letters. It is to further the gospel, to be preaching the gospel, that others can hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is so good at it that even the whole palace guard and all the rest knew that his chains are in Christ, that he is there because he is a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is able to preach freely the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on down to say that even those who would, from selfish ambition, would suppose to add affliction to his chains, he even encourages them with that, saying, doesn't matter how the Lord is preached, how the gospel is preached, as long as it is preached, he will rejoice in that. So even these, whoever it was who were trying to afflict him in his chains by the preaching of the gospel, Paul said it doesn't matter. As long as the gospel is preached, he will rejoice. And it's interesting too that he uses that supposing to add affliction to my chains, when he just said that his chains are in Christ Jesus. So he doesn't consider himself chained in and imprisoned, but he is a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he encourages the Philippians with that. And then the comfort, and there are 4 points he makes: comfort or encouragement, comfort, fellowship, and affliction and mercy. The comfort he receives is from the Philippians themselves. In verse 19, it says, "For I know this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers." So the comfort of love is knowing that the Philippians are praying for him, and that they love him, and they are concerned for him. And this is also a part of the fellowship of the Spirit. We know that when we pray for others, that is fellowshipping with them. When we bring them before the throne of grace, we are actually lifting them up before the Lord and fellowshipping with them in that way. And so the fellowship that of the Spirit is here in this verse as well, is that deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So we see how that is there for their edification as well. And then the affection and mercy in the verses 19 and on, and I'm not going to go through that all again, but Paul here is talking about his being in chains, and it appears that he is considering that he may depart soon, may die soon. So he says he is relating to them that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, and he can't decide which one he would choose for, because he is hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. But then he comes to the conclusion here that he says, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And because of this, he is confident that he shall remain and continue with them. And Paul is expressing his affection and his love and his mercy for the Philippians, in that he desires to be with Christ and he desires to leave, but he understands that it is not time yet, that the Philippians need him. And so he is convinced that he will remain for the progress and joy of the faith. So we see here that therefore here really refers back to what he was talking to them about in Philippians verse 11 through 26. And now Paul goes into this other part, the next part of his letter to them, and he says, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Paul is encouraging the Philippians to be like-minded in the Lord Jesus Christ. Apparently, although the Philippians, the book is very positive book and an encouraging book to the Philippians, apparently there was a problem in the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 2. It talks about the two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, that they be of the same mind also. And that's kind of the theme of the book of Philippians, to being of the same mind in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had been his companions, apparently, when he first came to Philippi and started the church, that they worked with Paul. And now they're having this disagreement. So Paul is here encouraging and exhorting the Philippians to be of the same mind, be like-minded. And he says, and let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So we see here, Paul is encouraging them and telling them that the way to be like-minded and having the same love and one accord and one mind is not to be selfish or to be conceited or to have any selfish ambitions, but to be lowly in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others as better than himself. Now imagine if we all could have that mind 24/7, 365, right? Imagine that. Putting others, esteeming others before yourself and looking not only for your own interests, but for the interests of others. What an amazing assembly it would be. What a light to this neighborhood, to this community, to everywhere, if we exemplify Jesus Christ in that way, putting others before ourselves, others' needs before ourselves, and others' interests before ourselves. And then he gets to kind of the meat of his letter here, which is just an amazing part of scripture. And this, these next six verses here are very well known. And he says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so he has just told the Philippians to fulfill his joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Now he's telling them to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And you think, wow, how do we do that? Like, who can know the mind of the Lord, right? Well, Paul isn't just telling us this for no reason. If you turn back to, 2 Corinthians. Why is it I always lose my notes here? I'm sorry. Let me just find that passage. Okay. I don't have it, but I know what it says. Paul in 2 Corinthians, thank you, 2:16. Paul in 2 Corinthians 2:16 says, who has known the mind of the Lord that you should instruct him? But then he says, but we have the mind of Christ. So Paul here is saying, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we can do that because we have the mind of Christ. And he says, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So Paul's point here is this robbery is a form of grasping or holding on to or not letting go of it. And he says, Christ did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He did not hold on to that high position, that lofty position that he had with God the Father. He willingly came to this earth. And he, in verse 7 says, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So here we see the Lord Jesus Christ not holding on to his position in heaven with the Lord, with the Father, but willingly giving that up, forsaking all that he had in order to come to this earth to humble himself or make himself of no reputation and take on the form of a bondservant, a servant who is willing to sacrifice all that he has to go to that cross. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And he did that all for us. So the love of God here, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is just so amazing. And we read in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And here we have a picture of what it was, what exactly the Lord Jesus Christ did in humbling himself and being obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, in order that he might die for our sins and take our place on the cross. The Lord placed on him the sins, the punishment for our sins that we deserved. He laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross at Calvary. And it's such an amazing picture there. And Paul says that this is the mind that we are to have with others, that putting others first, like Christ put us first, and he humbled himself, made himself of no reputation for us. And we're supposed to have that love, that same mind for our brothers. And that's a difficult thing to consider. And yet here we see Paul using this example, this extreme example of the Lord Jesus Christ making himself of no reputation. John 1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John 1:14 says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And here we see that again here in Paul's example of the incarnation of Christ here, that he humbled himself. And this is what we are to do as well. We are to have that same mind in us. And Paul here is speaking about the unity of the body of Christ here, that we need to all be willing to look at not only our own interests, but the interests of others. To be having the mind of Christ goes even farther than that, in that we are, Christ made himself of no reputation and humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Wow. You know, Paul is telling us that's the mind we are to have. And to have unity in the body. And he's saying, this is how you will fulfill my joy, by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind, and having the mind of Christ. And that's an amazing thing to think about. And of course, Paul here is talking to the believers in Philippi, And he is expressing this is how we should live as believers in Christ. We are to be bondservants of Christ, just as he is a bondservant. And he's in that jail in Rome, and he's in those chains, and yet he does not regard those chains as chains from Rome, but chains from Christ. He is a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we are to be in our lives as well, to be willing to give up the things that we desire, the things that we love, some of those things that keep us from having a better relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those things should become of no value to us in light of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. So Paul is encouraging them in his own life and showing them how the things that he experienced, the trials that he was going through in his imprisonment, were for Christ. And if he looks at them that way, then he doesn't become upset. He doesn't become depressed. He doesn't think about that situation with whoever was speaking and using that, seeking to add to his affliction. No, it was all for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as the gospel is preached, he rejoices in that. And he rejoices in the Philippians by them being like-minded and having the same love of one accord and one mind. And that mind is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Guess what I just found? 1 Corinthians 2:16. So, Paul here is pleading for the Philippians to let the mind of Christ be in you, and he uses this great example to encourage them to be of one mind. And Paul then goes on to say that there after. Even the death of the cross, verse 9 says, therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of heaven, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we see that Christ's love for us, in that he willingly left the Father's side, willingly left his throne on high to come here for us. We see his love for us, that he did not consider it robbery to be a thing to be a robbery with God, a thing to be grasped. And he made himself of no reputation, and he humbled himself to the point of death, even the death on the cross, because of his great love for us. And it was at a high cost to him too, because he did suffer. He was beaten for our iniquities, he was bruised for our transgressions, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And he took our sins upon himself on that cross at Calvary. So it was a high cost that he had to pay, but he willingly paid that. And if we are to have that same mind, that mind of Christ, if we are to let that mind be in us, wow. Are we willing to humble ourselves and become bondservants of Christ and give up all those things that we hold dearly? And are we willing to do that at any cost? And this, to me, really was struck home, because there's so many things in this world that we have a tendency to grasp, to hold on to not want to let go. There's so many things that maybe hold us back from having a deeper, more closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with others, with the body of Christ. So many things that may hold us back from that. And are we willing to have that same mind that Christ had? Put all that aside in order to be bondservants for the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul was. So, to me, that just is, it's an amazing thing to think about, because there are so many things, like I said, that can hold us back from that. Be it jobs, homes, whatever. But there is a reward. There is a reward for that. If you would turn with me to 2 Timothy 4. And verse 6. And Paul here, writing to Timothy, says, "For I am ready, already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." So we might think that it is a really high price to pay to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to have that same mind, to be his bondservants. And yet, Paul is showing us here that there is a reward for doing that. That the righteous judge will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also all who have loved his appearing. So we do look forward to that day when the Lord Jesus Christ will return. I look forward to that day. I see that day is getting much closer as we look around and with things that are going on in this world. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon to take his church home. And this admonition of Paul here is that much more important, because as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be out sharing the good news of the gospel, just as Paul was, whether it be in chains or just freely going out into the neighborhood, which we can do, and sharing Christ with others. Because 2 Timothy says that God is not slack, as some count slackness, but he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should be our mind as well. And that's a difficult thought as well, because there are people out there and on the news and other places that we just don't agree with sometimes. And yet those people need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as well. So in conclusion here, everything that we do as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ should be done to bring glory and honor to his name, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be willing to do whatever he has for us to do. We should be willing to do that gladly and do it as unto the Lord, and to bring him the glory and honor. And one of those things is being like-minded in the body. We can't be an effective body of Christ if we don't have unity. And unity is not being uniform or being totally the same. We all have different upbringings and different things that we do. Unity is being of the same mind in the Lord Jesus Christ and having his mind in us. And that's how we bring unity into the church and what we do as a body of Christ. And being unified and having that mind in us, then we can have the same love and be in one accord, as Paul has talked about, and fulfilling his joy, not just the joy of Paul, but the joy of the Lord. That's what he desires of us, to be unified and to be of one mind, that we can be able to be effective witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and being that way, that's how we would glorify the Lord wherever we are, whether it be in the church here or in our community, in our families, on the job, wherever it is. If we are willing to share the Lord Jesus Christ and willing to let others know that we are there because of Christ. Just as Paul said, he was in prison because of Christ, not because Rome put him there, but because Christ put him there, because he's a bondservant. And wherever we are put there for a reason. God has put us there to share the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, in order to do that, we must also have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have him as our Lord and our Savior. And if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you to get into his word, to read his word, and to seek out maybe one of the elders or myself or someone, and talk to them about how you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's so important, especially in these days, because the time is short. The Lord is coming back soon. So I'm also reminded of Hebrews 12:2 when I read this. Hebrews 12:2, another familiar verse, it says, looking to Jesus. Let me go to the New King James. Instead of the ESV, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. And that's what Paul is saying. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. And what is faith? The acronym for faith, I'm sure you all know it or have heard it before. Forsaking all, I trust him. Just as Christ forsook all and forsook his position in heaven and came to this earth and made himself of no reputation and humbled himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He forsook all. And that is what faith is. Forsaking all, I trust him. So Let's look to the Lord now and give him thanks. And thank you for listening. And I'll just give him thanks. Father, we just thank you and praise you for your love for us, that tremendous love that would send your son to this earth to die for us on that cross at Calvary. And Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who did so willingly, who made himself of no reputation and took on the form of a man and humbled himself to the point of death, even that death on the cross, that we might have eternal life in him. Oh, Father, that we could see these words of Paul and apply them to our lives and to our heart and be willing to have that same mind that was in Christ, so that we can be effective in our lives as believers in Christ, sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to others. Encourage us today and help us going forth to live our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring honor and glory to him. In Jesus' name, amen.